السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا وقد قال الله تعالى الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, we will be switching over for this Juma to a few things with regards to Hajj. There is no doubt that many seminars have taken place, many talks, many lectures, many programs with regards to Hajj. And alhamdulillah, a large number of people on whom Hajj was farz have left for Hajj. There are still some of them who will be leaving, and some of them on whom Hajj is farz but do not seem to have the himmat and the courage to leave. It is unfortunate that many people on whom Hajj is not farz, it is nafil, they go and crowd the place there, whereas those people on whom Hajj is farz, they keep on delaying their Hajj. So since we still have another two or three flights to go, probably a word or two with regards to Hajj may encourage those people on whom Hajj is farz but do not seem to have the courage to go, to undertake this Mubarak journey of their life, a farz duty, a farz obligation. It is not possible, in fact impossible, to do justice to the topic of Hajj in a few minutes. So therefore, I am just going to give you one or two virtues with the niyyah that if somebody undertakes the pilgrimage and it was farz upon him, then we get included also in the sawab. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran Sharif and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in many, many ahadith have extolled the virtues of Hajj. One surah of the Quran Sharif is called Suratul Hajj. But without going into any details, Hajj becomes farz upon a person when he has sufficient amount of money, without all the other details, when he has sufficient amount of money to undertake the pilgrimage and to return, and during his absence to leave behind a sufficient amount for his wife, for his children, for their maintenance. From this we clearly understand that Hajj is farz on an individual in accordance with his capacity. It does not become farz on a person after he has sufficient money, as I mentioned many times in my Hajj talks, after he has sufficient money to take his wife, his children, his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren. Many people delay their Hajj because they say, we don't have sufficient money to take our wives, to take our children with. Or they do not have sufficient money to go and spend 1 month there, or 6 weeks there, or 8 weeks there. They say, we are making Hajj for the first time. And since we are making it for the first time, then we want to make the best of it, so we have to have at least 8 weeks, or 6 weeks, or more than that. Now this then causes them to delay that Hajj, because they cannot get leave. They are getting leave for 3 weeks. Now they say the 3 week leave is not sufficient. We want to spend more time there. Now you can see how shaitan tries to delay that person's Hajj by all these type of tricks. Or the person will find some other excuses to delay this Hajj. So Hajj becomes farz on the individual in accordance with his capacity. If he has got sufficient money to undertake the pilgrimage, after fulfilling the necessary obligations with regards to the wife and the children, then he must undertake that pilgrimage. In a hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it is mentioned that if a person does not spend in a place where Allah Ta'ala is pleased with, he does not spend in that place where Allah Ta'ala is pleased with, that he has got money and there is a cause that is in front of him, but he does not want to spend on that cause, where lies the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So then he will have to spend that money of his in those places where Allah Ta'ala's wrath and curse lies. You will find in his life that money afterwards being spent in the wrong places. You will see that this person will then either spend it in the cinemas, theatres, or lavish weddings and walimas, but he will not spend that money in the correct, but he didn't spend it in the correct place. So now the money will go somewhere. And that person who delays his Hajj for worldly reasons, that he's finding all kinds of excuses, and he says that after I get my son married, then I will go for Hajj. After I get my daughter settled, then I will go for Hajj. After I purchase that house of mine, then I will go for Hajj. He keeps on finding excuses and delays his Hajj for worldly reasons. Then he will notice that the people will go for Hajj and return, and that worldly reason for which he delayed his Hajj will still be delayed. And if a person does not assist his brother, a brother Muslim, he does not assist him when that person is in need, then when this person is in need, at that time he will not find anybody to assist him. So there are many riwayats of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in which great amount of virtues have been given of Hajj. Read Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi's Fazail-e-Hajj, and the person will then understand what Hajj is all about. Nevertheless, the majority of the talks and whatever takes place, all the emphasis seems to be on the masail of Hajj. There is no doubt that it is very important to know the masail of Hajj. Without the masail of Hajj, the person will not be able to undertake the Hajj correctly. But the real thing of Hajj is that spirit of Hajj. And unfortunately, most of the people, most of us who are called Hajis, when we return from there, we come back just as we went. In fact, many of us return worse than what we went. We get many, many cases, without exaggeration. There are so many cases that sometimes you just hold your head and wonder what is happening. The person will tell you this person just went for Hajj and he came, or the person is gone for Hajj and this is what he has done. So we have to understand that the real thing about Hajj is the spirit of Hajj. That the person is going there and he's saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, O Allah, I'm at your service, O Allah, I'm present here. Therefore, Hazrat Ali bin Zainul Abidin, radiyallahu ta'ala an, he says that when he was about to say the Labbaik, then his face used to turn pale, and he used to begin to shiver, tremble, and then after he said Labbaik, he falls down unconscious. What was it? It was that fear that my Labbaik was not be rejected. Why? He says, because of the hadiths of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When a person is undertaking the pilgrimage with haram monies, then that Hajj is thrown back at his face. It is rejected. There is no acceptance. Allah Ta'ala does not accept Hajj with haram monies. And there are so many people who are owing so many people monies, and unconcerned they just go Hajj upon Hajj, Umrah upon Umrah. And when that person has to claim his money, then they say, what, I'm going for something haram. Am I going to play tabla dholak there? I'm going for Hajj, I'm going for Umrah, and you got problem with that. Whereas Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayh, I think I mentioned this, it just came to mind again, Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayh, he said that if a person deprives his family, his wife and children of their necessities, that means during his trip, for whether it is for jihad, whether it is for Hajj, whether it is for any dini activity, whether the person is going to some khanqa of some sheikh of his, or whether he is going to the tabliq jamaat, wherever the person is going, if he has not made sufficient provision, or the person is in debts and he is not paying his qarz, he is not paying the money that he has borrowed, he is in debts but he is not paying those people, and those people also haven't given him the permission that, all right, you can go now, when you come back you can pay. He hasn't sought any kind of permission also. He is just going. He is going for Hajj, he is going for Umrah, he is going to the khanqa of his sheikh, or he is going to for tabligh and dawat, or he is going for jihad. But this person is owing monies. Then Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayhi says that this person has made zulm. He has committed injustice. He has committed a major sin. And he is under the curse of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He says that this person is under the curse of Allah Ta'ala. Now all of us have to think, that when we're going for Hajj and we're going for Umrahs, and just sometimes it is a status business. One person said, I did 25 Hajj in a row. So I told him, for your Islah purposes, why don't you leave out this year? For your Islah purpose, this year don't go. He says, no, I have to go. I said, for what reason? He said, for sawab. I said, but there are many other things for sawab. But why is it that this year you don't want to leave it out? Because nafs is involved. Again, that hadith of Rasul-e-Pak, that many people, the rich from my ummah, a time will come when they will be making Hajj. For what? For tourism. They will be going just for name, for fame, for tourism. That we, just as we go and visit other places of the world, in the same way, a little bit of seeing Makkah Sharif, a little bit of seeing of Madina Sharif. And the middle class, they will go there for what? For business reasons. Go and see how we can get into the market there, because there are millions of people that come there, and we can also get into the market. Again, don't misunderstand me, it is not haram to do business with Makkah Sharif and Madina Sharif. But don't make the Hajj for the sake of the business. Then state clearly that I'm going for business. By the way, if I get Hajj, I will make it. But they will go, they will tell everybody I'm going for Hajj. But in the meantime, back of their mind is how many contacts we can develop there and build up there. Now, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioning this to an audience of his in whose hearts there was nothing but sincerity. And he says a third group, and that is of the ulama, the learned people, the scholars, they will be going for Hajj for what? Just for name and for fame. That I made so many, you made so many. So this person, I told him that if you really want sawab, then there are lots of other things for sawab this year what you can do. But this year, break that whole chain. So that shaitan doesn't get you that why are you mentioning to everybody I made 25 Hajj in a row? The fact that you are telling everybody I made 25 Hajj in a row shows that there is something at the back of your mind. So for your Islah purposes, this one year don't go for Hajj. Now outwardly a person would think that the Shaykh is stopping him from going for Hajj. But he's not stopping him from going for Hajj, he's making Islah of his nafs. This is something very, very delicate. We won't understand until you have that knowledge of Islah. So what I am saying is that the Hajj, there must be sincerity in it. There must be halal earnings with which the person goes. It must not be that the person is making Hajj that side and this side he has taken dozens of people for a ride. He has made false promises. He is owing huge amounts of monies. And in the meantime, he is there sitting on Arafat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala definitely forgives. As I said, this is not a proper, full, complete Hajj talk. Whatever comes into my mind, whatever hadith comes, I will speak on. There is no doubt that Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is his hadith sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, Al-Hajjul Mabroor laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-Jannah. That the person who makes Hajj Mabroor, there is no other reward for that except Jannah. Now if Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said the reward for that is this or that in this world, then it would not have been doing justice to it. So to show how important it is and how great a ni'mat it is to make Hajj Mabroor, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said that there is no jaza, there is no reward for it except Jannah. But what did he say? That Hajj must be Mabroor. Now when a person is going, we say, Allah Ta'ala make your Hajj Mabroor and Maqbool. But we don't understand what it means. Hajj Mabroor doesn't mean just going there and touring or undertaking a few rituals and returning. And in the meantime, indulging in so much of sins of the eyes, so much of sins of the ears, so much of sins of the heart and mind. Indulging in so much of, in fact, zina of the eyes. One person mentioned to my Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, he says, Hazrat, these Indonesian women who come here, they got white cloaks, white burqas, white niqabs, and also white faces. How much of noor shining on their faces? He said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Tumhe Kaaba Sharif ka noor nazar nahi aya. Tumhe in auraton ke chehre par noor nazar aya. Ye shaitan hai jisne tumhe dhoka diya hai. But whatever our condition, we will still go there because that is the place which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, or as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that if you make Hajj Mabroor, then you'll get jaza of Jannat. Tum kis muh se Kaaba jaoge ghalib, sharm tumko magar nahi aati. Ghalib said that with which face are you going to go to the Kaaba Sharif? Don't you feel ashamed? What have you really done at your home that you are now going to the Kaaba Sharif? Look at your own character, look at your akhlaq, look at your behavior, look at your dealings, look at your life. With what face are you going to go to the Kaaba Sharif? But Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says that isse ghalib ne mayusi paida kar di. Look at them, how much of feeling they have for weak ones like us. He says, if we are going to listen to ghalib, then we will be despair of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. So he says, maine is shair ko badal diya. Main isi muh se Kaaba jaunga. Main isi muh se Kaaba jaunga. Sharm ko khaak mein milaunga. Main isi muh se Kaaba jaunga. Sharm ko khaak mein milaunga. Unke samne mein ro ro ke gir giraunga. Apni bigdi ko main yun banaunga. He says, I will go with the same face of mine. But I am not going to go there and waste my time. I am not going to go there for tourism. I am not going to go there to indulge in the same vices and sins that I have been indulging here. I am going to go, but what am I going to do? At the door of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, I am going to shed tears of repentance. I am going to cry before Him at Arafat, at Mina, at Muzdalifah. And I am going to ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for forgiveness of my sins. And I am going to return better person than what I had went. He had gone. Allah Ta'ala will forgive those sins, but it does not mean that if the person in his dealings has had problem with someone, or he has taken inheritance which was not rightly due to him, or he has stolen somebody's money or property, then if he goes to Arafat, then everything is forgiven. The sin is forgiven. It is just like if I am owing somebody 1,000 rands, and I promise that person that I will pay you on a certain date, but I failed to pay that person on that date, and that person was very upset. After 1 month, when I went to pay him, then I tell him that, please forgive me, I am sorry, I was supposed to pay you on the 1st, but it's already the 21st. So that person said, alright, maaf. Now what did he make maaf? He made maaf of that delay. He didn't say that 1,000 rand is maaf. What he said is that delay that you didn't pay me on the 1st, I have made maaf of that. We have to understand this, because when we read these hadiths, people say, well, I'm going over and over because Allah Ta'ala forgives sins. We say, yes, Allah Ta'ala forgives sins, but you're not giving up interest in your life. You are not giving up the taking of gambling money. You are still visiting the casinos. You are still indulging in zina, in fornication, in all these type of things. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is willing to forgive. In fact, the day of Arafat is such a day. It's the most beautiful day in the life of a haji. Because on that day, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's mercy knows no bounds, no limits. It is a pity that our hujjaj spend their time in picnicking there and gossiping about the whole world, even in Arafat and Mina. Otherwise, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says there, the mafhum of all those hadiths put together, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he addresses the angels and he says, look at these people. They have come from far and wide with disheveled hair. Look at their clothes, look at their bodies, it is covered with dust. And their plea is, O Allah, forgive our sins. Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. You bear witness that I have forgiven them. Even if their sins are more than the grains of sand on earth, if they are more than the raindrops that fall from the heavens, if they are more than the leaves of the trees of the world, I have forgiven them all. Now what has Allah Ta'ala forgiven? It is that sin Allah Ta'ala has forgiven. What the person has indulged in, which we may term as huququllah. But then he has to make qaza of those namazes. He has to give that zakat which has fallen due. He has to keep those fasts, qaza, which he missed. And when it comes to huququl ibad, Allah Ta'ala will forgive that sin of having delayed. But now the person must make sure that he goes and pays back or returns whatever he may have taken that was not rightly due to him. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in his time, in the time of the Sahaba, a Sahabi says that tourists have increased and hajis have decreased. He is talking about his time. He says tourists have increased and hajis have decreased. And yet everyone that had gone there had gone for hajj. So what did he mean by that? That spirit of hajj, it seems to be dying down. And especially in our time, it has become so easy to purchase a ticket and undertake pilgrimage that within a few days you are back. And as I said, that niyat, then people are not concerned about that, with what niyat we are undertaking hajj upon hajj. And those on whom Hajj is farz, if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Ajjil, hasten, don't delay that Hajj. Because if you are going to delay, you do not know what is going to happen to you the next year. The person could be wealthy today and tomorrow something happens and the person is in poverty. So therefore he should not delay it, he should undertake it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, if the person without any valid reason, he does not have a valid reason, and he delays the Hajj, and he dies, then he says, I don't care whether the person dies a Jew or a Christian. In other words, I've got nothing to do with that person. If we have to start talking about the virtues of Hajj, we need weeks and weeks. But the message for today, what I wanted to give is this, that those who haven't gone as yet, then they should not delay their Hajj unnecessarily, and they should not wait until they have enough funds and monies to go and spend 8 weeks there. Even if they can make it for the 5 days of Hajj, then they should try and make it for that 5 days of Hajj. And then make dua, O Allah, bless us with plenty of wealth and bring us again for Umrah or another Hajj. But that farz Hajj, the person should not delay. Hajj Mabrur is that Hajj in which the person fulfills the ahkam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the faraiz, the wajibat, the mustahabbat, the sunnats, and he stays away from everything that is obscene, shameless, indecent, haram. There is no fusuq, there is no jidal, there is no wickedness, there is no obscenity, there is no wrangling and quarreling and arguing. He stays away from all that, then that is Hajj Mabrur, which in our language we say 5-star Hajj. At present, 5-star Hajj is that Hajj in which you have the best hotel, where you have a beautiful television in front of you all the time, and where you have all the other luxuries, then we say that is 5-star Hajj. Whereas the 5-star Hajj is that Hajj in which the person, there is no problem if Allah Ta'ala has given him sufficient amount of wealth and he wants to stay in a 6-star hotel. But the 5-star or 6-star Hajj will be that Hajj in which the person fulfilled the faraiz, the wajibat, the sunnats, the mustahabbat, and he stayed away from gossiping, from backbiting, from cheating. People are even cheating the people of Madina Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said they will melt and dissolve like salt in water if they are going to cheat people of Madina Sharif. Cashing checks there and after that putting stop order and say that it got stolen. How many cases of this nature we are now witnessing? That the people go there, they cash the draft and then stop order. So who are we cheating? So this Hajj, that is that 5-star Hajj, that the person stays away from every kind of haram, every kind of sin, and accidental sins, it will take place anywhere, then he makes plenty of tawbah, plenty of istighfar. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala not only forgives his sins, but Allah ta'ala forgives the sins or accepts his intercession on behalf of 400 members of his family. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that they are like the members of the delegation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The time has expired, otherwise my mind is a bit flooded at this time with so many things about Hajj. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq to bring back into our lives that spirit of namaz, the spirit of fasting, the spirit of Hajj, the spirit of tawbah. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make sincere tawbah from all sins, all those who are going for Hajj and who have gone. May Allah ta'ala bless them with Hajj Maqbool and Mabroor and make a lot of dua for Palestine. It seems that everything is moving now in the direction of Qiyamah. So make a lot of dua for Palestinians, make for the Kashmiris, make for all the Muslims in the world, the Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, wherever they are suffering. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala remove the difficulties, hardships, problems, and may Allah ta'ala assist them and help them. And may Allah ta'ala shower upon them his bounties and rahmat. And those who have passed away as shaheeds, may Allah ta'ala bless them with the best of abode in akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana.